Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stastny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Oprah! Rebound. He scores. Driver. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks on St. Charles Rock Road. We are here till... Oh, you're doing the radio, the baseball show till 2?
To what matters, and that's yes. The 590 baseball from 1 to 2.
The junior varsity program right now.
Then what this is.
We're the lead-in, that's right. Charles Tuna Edwards, Andy Strickland here. It is a great day in St. Louis sports. About to begin a... Game one in San Jose, the Cardinals coming off a big victory, the NBA playoffs. Chuck, there probably is not a complaint for you in the whole world right now.
No complaint at all. I love this time of the year. The NBA is just unreal. Of course, everybody on the radio in St. Louis, the TV, the Blues are the only thing that you talk. You're one of the few people that talked about other subjects yesterday. It's only so much you can say about the Blues. We're in the Final Four, second time in 4 years. I'm happy for the team. But it's one guy that associated with the Blues we haven't heard enough about, and that's Tom Stillman. Because when it comes to business of sports, this really helps out with the business of the Blues making money, the playoff games. Am I right? Are you over there laughing, homie?
$2 million a playoff
game. It's not $2 million.
But they don't get to keep it all, the NHL.
It's not.
Is it 1.5?
It's not. It's less than half of that, actually, in terms of what the Blues are getting.
Well, so, no, but the Blues don't keep $2 million, but they generate
$2
million.
Focus on what the Blues are getting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's what's important. So every game is huge, every game matters, and obviously it's important to have these playoff games because it helps you in the pocketbook. There's no doubt. I mean, that's why home ice advantage is key. You look at the previous series, you get that fourth game at home, you put some extra cash in your pocket. So, again, people throw out this $2 million number. I've heard that on a couple of occasions, but – it's less than half of that, but still nobody's complaining down there at
Brett
Hall Way.
If the Blues net, let's just say, a million out of that, here's the question.
Less than.
How many games do they have to host in the playoffs to pay Craig Berube's contract that he's going to get?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, that number's to be determined yet, Frank.
Well, do you think it's going to be a $3 million?
Well, let's come back to me and tell me if they win the Stanley Cup or not. I mean, he gets to the Stanley Cup final. He wins the Western Conference Championship. They win the Stanley Cup. That number is only going to get higher and higher. Same thing with Jordan Binnington. I mean, there's a lot of unknown right now. Listen, there's been a lot of focus on, Craig Berube's contract. The reality is he has a contract for next year as an associate head coach. He's not going anywhere. I mean, the Blues would have to allow him to go elsewhere even if another team wanted to hire him. So the reality is he's staying here. I think he wants to stay here regardless anyway. I don't think there's any thought in his mind about going to coach another team next season, and the Blues obviously know that he's going to be the head coach. What that contract looks like remains to be seen. It's still up in the air. He's got a lot of leverage considering how good this team is playing.
Where does this revenue come from? Game receipts, advertising, or from the league?
The league's not paying
the
Blues.
The league gets some of this money.
I know they get some of the money, but in other sports, sometimes the league pays. I'm talking about real sports, okay? I know we're talking about the junior league.
No. The league doesn't pay teams.
They don't give money to some of the teams from revenue.
You're talking about revenue sharing.
Right, revenue sharing.
Well, that's after the season, right? I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a certain number of teams get some money through revenue sharing. The Blues have certainly taken advantage of that in the past. But, you know, listen, this is helping out the Blues big time in terms of from a financial standpoint. I mean, listen, we're speaking the obvious here. You're in the third round of the Stanley Cup playoff, and you're making money. There's no question.
Here's something else that disturbs me immensely.
Huh.
Bennington and Bishop are from St. Louis. They're not from St. Louis. They're from the suburbs. Give the suburbs. Where are they from? Kirkwood or somewhere? Give them some pub. If St. Louis, no, they're not.
What are you talking about?
No one said these kids are from St. Louis. They're not from St. Louis.
No one said Bennington's from St. Louis.
Well, I've been hearing all week long.
Bennington's from Richmond Hill, Ontario.
Well, no. Bishop is from.
He is from St. Louis.
So you don't consider him from St. Louis?
What city is he from?
I think he grew up in Frontenac.
Well, that's what you give the Frontenac credit. We ain't from St. Louis.
You can tell things are good because Tuna has to manufacture things to be mad about.
You don't consider Bennington. What about Brad Beal? Is he from St. Louis?
Where does he grow up at?
His mom's a teacher in U City.
That's where he's from U City.
Isn't it called St. Louis County?
Larry Hughes grew up in Jennings, I believe.
He's from Jennings, Missouri.
Oh, he's not from St. Louis.
No, he's from Jennings, Missouri.
Okay, but I've heard you say in the past,
credit.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Give those municipalities credit.
Who went to John Burroughs.
Actually, and he grew up in Alton.
He did.
Give those municipalities credit. We often hear, even the national announcer, they're from St. Louis. No, you're not.
I mean,
what are you supposed to say? It's from Frontenac?
You sound like some. I mean, are you like a? Do you call into radio shows under an alias or something?
I don't call into radio
shows. You sound like some random caller who's calling in from South County.
Let's tell the truth. We always want to have the truth.
I mean,
get these other cities.
Can we turn his mic off for the rest of the show? Just for this specific slop. Just turn his mic off for the rest of the show.
Andy, how about
we are not in the mood to hear this type of stuff from Charlie today?
All we do is hear.
I mean, you sound like an old lady. This is an old lady watching the news complaining about where they say a guy is from.
Well, Charlie, we're about to begin an incredible series here.
Well, that's wonderful, too. But let's get something else to talk about besides the
moon. Well, we're going to stay with this a little longer.
Let's stick with the topic he knows nothing about, to keep him upset, okay?
Once we go to the other topic, you zoom out all the way then.
Oh, my God.
Andy, how about the Shark Tank as an atmosphere? Uh-huh. Would you consider it a top five?
I don't know. I mean,
it's up there, isn't it, in terms of loud,
definitely
crazy?
Up there. They get into it for sure. It's a loud building. And, you know, they've been behind that team for a long time. They've had a lot of good teams. You know, everyone looks at least on the outside, they look at the San Jose Sharks as a team of destiny. You know, St. Louis is a pretty good Cinderella story, too, when you consider where they've come from and who's leading the way. It's just I can't get over the story. It's an amazing story. I mean, honestly, it's just kind of – it's absolutely crazy to think where we are today versus where things were at just a few short months ago. And who are the people that are leading the way? No one had even heard of Jordan Bennington.
Yeah.
Okay, the majority of people. I mean, I would say most people probably had never heard of Jordan Bennington a couple of months ago. And here he is as one of the, you know, biggest names in St. Louis, in Kirkwood, in Creve-Coeur, in Jennings, no matter where we're talking about, Charlie, he's one of the biggest names happening right now in this city.
It's Kurt Warner. You know that. This is a Kurt Warner story.
Yeah, but I said that a few weeks ago on the show, you guys kind of said, I don't know if it is. But here's the difference, though. I mean, Jordan Bennington, this guy, if you've truly followed his path, you should not be overly surprised. For whatever reason, he wasn't given an opportunity. You know, he was the number one player drafted into the OHL when he was playing junior hockey. Represented Canada on the biggest stage, playing in the World Junior Championships. Won an OHL championship. You know, a couple of years ago, this guy had one of the more incredible performances in the American Hockey League. He made 50-plus saves in an overtime loss in the American Hockey League playing for the Chicago Wolves. And a few short days later, the Blues traded for Phoenix Copley, and all of a sudden he continued to get pushed down the depth chart. And I think part of his success is the fact that he's got such a chip on his shoulder, and he's so, focused and, you know, just he wants to stick it to a lot of people who didn't believe that he was this good. And, you know, you watch the difference between he and some of these other goaltenders, like when they get hit, how they flop. And when he gets hit, he attacks. I mean, his mentality in between the pipes is so different than any other goaltender we've seen here in a long time. It is an incredible story, but he always knew he was good, Frank. And if you look at his numbers, this guy was an all-star in the American Hockey League last year. Boston tried to trade for him. They wanted him in the Boston organization. The Blues elected to hang on to him, and he was the backup starting this year in the American Hockey
League.
People
started to recognize him a little bit. I saw him the other night. He was at Bricktop with his lovely girlfriend.
Is that right?
Yeah, a couple people came up. He's starting to be recognized, which is good.
Very nice.
Oh, he loves it.
Now, Charlie,
he loves the attention he's getting, too.
I would think that if there ever was a series that you would really be interested in, it's this series because of San Jose, and they're kind of like bad A mentality. and the big beards and the nasty Oakland Raider kind of fans up there. And you're going to see a guy in this series. Because I remember being out there two or three years ago, and I interviewed him a few times, and he's weird, but he's my favorite player in the league, not on the Blues, mm-hmm. and that's Brent Burns.
Yep.
Mm. I mean, 82 games, 83 points. This is the most offensive-oriented defenseman in the league. I mean, he had 20 more points than Pavelski as a defenseman. Mm-hmm. What do you do with this guy in this series and his rushes?
You got to hit him. You got to put a body on him. Hmm. I mean, and you'll see this as the series goes on. He's the best in the NHL at getting shots through. And, you know, you talk about in football, a quarterback, they have different release points. Baseball pitchers, yeah. different release points. He's got different release points in terms of where he can get a shot off. And he gets it with a lot of heat on it. The puck can be in his skates. It can be out, you know, far to his right. It can be to his left. It doesn't matter. He has the ability, a unique ability, to get pucks through and get a shot off so quick. He can pick pucks up off the wall and shoot the puck and get it through on net all in one motion. And they've got a guy in Joe Pavelski who's arguably the best in the National Hockey League in redirecting pucks and deflecting pucks. He's got an unbelievable stick. He's been doing this for years. So it's a great 1-2 punch. But their power play is absolutely lethal. They're kind of a hybrid. You know, we looked at Dallas as more of a rush team. You know, this San Jose Sharks team is more of a hybrid of what we saw from Dallas and really a lot similar to what we see from St. Louis. You know, they like to get the puck down low. They get on the forecheck. They'll grind you down to death. They're a heavy team, big bodies offensively, but they can also, you know, kill you a little bit off the rush with who they have on the back end. But their defensemen, it's different from Dallas. Dallas's defensemen like to lead the rush. These defensemen like to, you know, just move it and then jump, but they're dangerous on the attack as well. So you got to be aware of them. But they've got some players who can finish. There's no doubt up front.
It reminds me a little bit of the Bad Boys of Detroit, a little bit tough and rough. Of all the four teams that are left, Carolina, whatever, who's the Boston, best team that's left?
I mean, well, you know, Boston's good. San Jose is good. St. Louis is good. No one gives credit to Carolina because they were a wild card team out of the Eastern Conference. But they had the same number of points as St. Louis. Since January 1st, the top three teams in the National Hockey League, it went Tampa Bay, St. Louis, Carolina. So wow. Carolina was unbelievable down the stretch as well. You know, all these teams that were playing well down the stretch seemed to all of a sudden be contending teams or have some mojo here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, they're a really good team. You watch them play. They got screwed over a little bit last night with the officiating, but Boston is so good. They're so experienced, and sometimes that experience can make the difference.
And then a quick thought on Martin Jones, who had a mm-hmm. very uneven regular season. Then he starts off miserably in the postseason, yeah. and now it's 10 straight really good games.
Yeah, and, you know, he played against St. Louis a few years ago when the Blues played San Jose in the Western Conference Final. And I think he had two shutouts in that series, if memory serves me correctly. And, you know, I mean, listen, this guy's been a little bit up and down, obviously. You mentioned he had a bad year. He got pulled twice in the first round against Vegas. But he's got his confidence right now. He's seeing the puck, and he's making the saves. And, you know, one thing his team will do for him, they'll score. You know, they score a lot of goals. They lead the NHL in goals in the first period. The Blues lead the NHL in goals in the third period. So the Blues get better as the game goes on. But they're going to have to weather the storm, especially in San Jose. Early in games, keep San Jose off the score sheet and find a way to, you know, if they're able to get out in front early and you know, get away from chasing games because it's a difficult team to come back from. But I will say this about San Jose. You look at their first two rounds, and as good as they are and as much star power as they have, you know, they haven't been very consistent at all. They play a great game. And they don't have the ability. They haven't shown the ability to follow that up with another good game. I mean, they were down 3-1 to Vegas. Vegas, you know, they had to come back, obviously win in a seventh game. They got the 5-minute major where they scored 4 goals on that penalty just to get through Vegas. And then they were up on Colorado a couple of different times in the series, and Colorado pushed them to a seventh game. Vegas and Colorado, two teams that play with a lot of pace. They can skate. They're fast. And that seemed to give San Jose a little bit of trouble. St. Louis could be a better matchup for San Jose just in terms of how they play, so we'll find out.
Some of the national media, I don't know if you agree, have given the goaltending edge to Jones. Do you agree?
No, I don't.
No way.
I'm
not denying what you're saying, but there's no way you could say that Binnington would be inferior.
And I don't know if I see that. I mean, I haven't heard
it's
a whole
– Because he hasn't been here before?
Well, no, I haven't heard a whole lot of that. Obviously, Martin Jones has a little bit of – you know, experience. I mean, he's been to a Stanley Cup final a few years back. That was his first year playing in the playoffs back in 2016. But Jordan Binnington, in my opinion, I mean, he and Tuukka Rask right now, you look at what he's doing for the Boston Bruins. You know, he's their leader in terms of the Conn Smythe. If the Bruins were to, you know, move on and win the Stanley Cup, just in terms of how well he's playing incredible hockey for Boston. But those are the two best goaltenders left.
You know, it does have a feel, and as great as we love our Blues story, doesn't this have a feel that this is like San Jose's year? I mean, this team was built for this year. You got the Joe Thornton, you know, John Elway kind of thing. This is his last year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, desperately we want to see the Blues win. But, boy, this team, this San Jose team just seems like...
Well, sometimes that happens in sports, right?
Yep.
Where, you know, they just kind of ride the wave of a veteran player, a superstar player. You know, maybe that's their motivation. Martin Kilcoyne and I talked about that the other day, making that comparison with John Elway, what he did, 39 years of age. Joe Thornton, 39 years of age, also one of the best guys.
Still productive.
In the National Hockey League. Yeah, he's still productive, but a much different role. He's a third-line center.
16 goals.
You know, yeah, he had 50-plus points. I mean, this guy's one of the best passers in the history of the National Hockey League, and you'll still see some of that. He still has great hockey sense and awareness. He can see the ice. But you look at his career number, he's got well over 1,000 assists. He's played something like 1,500 games. I mean, this guy has played a ton of hockey.
He's headed for the Hall of Fame.
Since being drafted first overall and coming in with the Boston Bruins as an 18-year-old, and he is absolutely, no question, a Hall of Famer.
This type of series also is the guys that you play the big bucks to, because they can change the game the way the other team brings in the line. There's a lot of pressure on Tarasenko.
There's always pressure on the best players. I mean, always pressure on the best players. He's got 5 goals in the playoffs, 4 of which I believe are on the power play. But if you watch Tarasenko play, he's impacting the game in other areas that we probably haven't seen as much from him in the past. He's been more physical. You know, his back checking, the backside pressure. You know, he's working hard, and it's tough to score. You know, Ryan O'Reilly hasn't been on his game from an offensive standpoint. We haven't seen the same dynamic play from him offensively that may have impacted Tarasenko. Now they've moved Tarasenko away from O'Reilly. They split them up, and he's playing with Shen, who probably isn't a true playmaking center, more of a shooter. You've got Jaden Schwartz on there who can control the play down low, and, you know, he obviously has a hot stick, and he's on his game and found his confidence. When we're talking about San Jose, we're talking about, you know, Logan Couture. We're talking about Pavelski and Tomas Hertl, all their best players, Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson on the back. And Karlsson's a 2-time Norris Trophy winner. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you're talking about St. Louis. You're going to need your best players. The depth for the Blues, which has been a big difference comparing them to other teams around the league, really showed up for them in the Dallas series, and they're going to need the depth as well.
How about this? Last night on Channel 5, we put together, we talked to some hockey people, the top 5 Blues goals of all time. I don't want to give you the list. Just throw out what you think.
You're 68 on there.
Yes, Ron Schock.
Right.
Okay, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Andy?
Troy Brower's goal probably is on there. Doug Wickenheiser's goal.
Wickenheiser is on there.
You don't put Brower's goal on
there? No, because you'll hear some other ones that are better.
Okay, well, that's certainly one of the top 5. It's got to be one of the top 5. I mean, that's one of the biggest goals in Blues history. I would say Pat Maroon's goal probably.
Pat Maroon's goal is on there. Pierre Turgeon,
okay,
game 7 overtime. And then the other one was Mike Crombeen in 81.
Yes, and he had the flu. That was against Pittsburgh, double overtime, I believe.
Very good.
I would put Troy Brower ahead of Pierre Turgeon, probably, Frank, honestly, just because of, you know, you're playing against Chicago. It was at home. The Blues had lost 3 consecutive years on home ice. You're playing against the big, bad Chicago Blackhawks, who had won 3 Stanley Cups, I think, in 6 years. And that still goes down today. You talk to people internally.
Was the Brower goal overtime? No.
It was not. It was in regulation. But, I mean, that goes down today still. You talk to, you know, I would say it's probably.
Well, that's why we chose it for
worthy,
our intro.
Worthy of a top 5, yeah.
Okay. Was Jacques Plante and Glenn Hall on that 68 team?
Yeah, that's what's so unbelievable. Goal. We had 2 Hall of Fame goaltenders in the expansion year.
See, I remember stuff, too, now. I'm there, baby.
Turgeon goal was huge, though, too, because they were down 3-1 in that playoff series. An overtime goal is a deflection. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Pearson who shot the puck.
All right, here's a question for everybody here. It's a good one, actually. If you could guarantee a Stanley Cup for the Blues, how long of a drought for a World Series would you consider?
Strick would do 100 years, I feel.
What do you mean? Oh, guarantee. Oh, so you guarantee
So you get the cup, but how long of a drought? You're cutting a deal with
Can I ask this question? I feel like everything we talk about in regard to the Blues but we always have to bring up the Cardinals in the equation.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, why do the Cardinals always come into the equation?
Yeah, it's leave like, them alone. Like Let the them stay over there.
Like if the Blues,
the
if the Blues have a big win, it's like, oh, what a day. The Cardinals won and the Blues won. It's like if the Cardinals have a big win, I never hear someone say, oh, what an amazing day. The Cardinals won and the Blues won.
Part of that is because the Blues have never won.
Correct, and I realize the significance of the Cardinals in this town. There's no doubt.
I would take a five-year drought.
Yeah, I'd do that.
I don't know if I'd go more than five.
So you're saying you wouldn't take a 10-year drought if it meant the Blues won the Stanley Cup?
It's tough. I don't know.
God, are you that big of a Cardinal fan?
No, in fact, I'd want to see it. The Blues win before the Cardinals. There's no doubt about it.
How many World Series have the Cardinals won? Like 12 or whatever?
11?
11.
Okay, so you wouldn't be okay just for the Blues to win one if you had to wait 10 years?
Well, a 10-year drought? It's tough. God. What would you do?
I'd probably do about 10. I could do that.
Hoffman's going 10. Tuna?
8.
Eight's the magic number on the slot.
I said the Blues would win a cup in the next 8 years.
That's a magic number.
Leaves up to your prediction.
Yeah, that's your year.
Another vote here. Kevin O'Shea in 72. Mike Claiborne voted for that one also.
Okay.
All right, we'll take a short timeout. This is Hollywood Casino Press Box broadcasting live from the Schnucks off St. Charles Rock Road. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Their students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. We appreciate Maryville being one of our great sponsors. And, of course, the Bomarito Automotive family. If you're looking for a car, look no further than Bomarito. 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations. Go to bomarito.com. They sell 30,000 cars a year, the most ever year in the state of Missouri. We'll be right back after this.